Zechariah chapter 8, 1 through 8, this given by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is the Word of God. And the word of the Lord of hosts came, saying, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, I am jealous for Zion with great jealousy, and I am jealous for her with great wrath. Thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. And Jerusalem shall be called the faithful city, and the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each with staff in hand because of great age. And the boys of and the streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in its streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the sight of the remnant of this people in those days, should it also be marvelous in my sight, declares the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God in faithfulness and in righteousness." And this is the word of the Lord. I had at one time quite a collection of Life magazines from the 1950s. And I have always liked the artwork in the advertising for companies and stores and everything else, automobiles from the 1950s. I guess I have a streak of, you know, thinking back in of those old times where I wasn't alive, but an appreciation, nostalgia, I guess, is what it is, though it's not nostalgia for something I witnessed, but the story it told in Life magazines, the story it told of the way people pictured their country, it was family homes built in neat rows, kids riding bikes and playing, schools full of happy children, stores full of housewares. But you and I know the truth that even in the midst of that, the Cold War was going on. And even in the midst of that, in the early 50s, the Korean War was going on. But there was this optimism, this change that had come over the people in the late 1940s, carrying over into the 1950s. Why would it be so easy for them to get away with picturing the country as the idyllic place where families all are together, where kids are all happy and they're all learning in school, and everyone can have a car, and everyone can have a home, and children are safe to play in the streets? Why hope? Why family? Why peace? Well, for those who had lived through World War II, they knew the reason. World War II was over, and brothers and fathers came home. You know, it wasn't, there was a celebration, victory, actually, we used to celebrate this up in Rhode Island, Victory over Japan Day. We used to celebrate, I don't know if anyone really celebrates that, right? Victory in Europe, right? Those things were, but there was a celebration. But the celebration back home, when the news came across the radio that Germany had surrendered or that Japan had surrendered, was nothing to be compared with meeting those ships at the port, or going to the airport and meeting a father or a brother who came home. That there was a presence there, that they were not left as widows and orphans. So many had, but many were not. Many were still left with their loved ones returning. And there's a lot to be said the presence of a loved one has missed. Not just that they're alive, safe in Germany or on a ship in the Pacific. Not just that they were out there somewhere, still loving us and we them, but that they were home, that they were together where they belong. Now we can build our houses. Now we can put our kids in school. Now the kids can play in the streets. And now the rationing is done. And there's this great joy, this great sense of peace, even in the midst of a world that still was a bit scary. At least that's what I think of when I look at those Life magazines from the 1950s. Last week we saw the genuine passion of God for His people. He was jealous for them. His zeal, his great earnest desire to fulfill all His promises and not renegotiate not a one of them. Though everything He had given promise to Abraham, He would still provide for this people who had rebelled against Him and spent 70 years in Babylon. He is all in, fully committed. This morning we see from the same passage, verses 1 through 8 of Zechariah 8, that the presence of the Lord makes all the difference in the world. Just like having that father, that son, return safely. And now these days, our mothers and daughters coming back from Afghanistan, Iraq, just having them here makes all the difference in the world. Yeah, the economy may still be tough. Gas prices still may be high. But when you see them and they're back home where they belong, and that's what we get from Zechariah chapter 8, beginning in verse 3. The presence of the Lord makes all the difference in the world. First, we see that the Lord's presence, His being here, makes us who we are. We are a people reflecting the glory of God. It says in verse 3, thus says the Lord, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. I have returned. Jerusalem would be called faithful because the Lord chose to be present with them there. It would be the faithful and true city, settled in truth and life according to the truth. Jerusalem had become a city that claimed the Lord but was unfaithful. If we go back before the 70 years of captivity, God was there, but the people didn't celebrate the presence of God. They celebrated the outward emblems of it and that alone. So they celebrated having the temple. They celebrated having the city of Jerusalem. All that they cared about were those things. And it led to unfaithfulness. It led them to idolatry. They were witnesses to a lie of their own making. They didn't appreciate that God was present. But God now would be with them, present with them. And that truth would reshape their lives such that Jerusalem would no longer be called that city of vile offenders, adulterers, as the prophet Hosea calls them, but the city of faithfulness and truth. We are drawn to the glory of God's presence and even transformed it, as Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 3. Now, the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of the Lord is present, there is freedom. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. From this comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. The presence of the Lord, Paul writes, the presence of Him as we behold Him, where? In our visible senses? No. In the means of grace that He has given us. The presence of God, invisibly yet present with us in worship, a means of grace. God is gathered with us. He is here in a very special way. He has chosen to be present with His people. When we do the Lord's Supper and administer the Lord's Supper, He is not present in the elements in the sense that they become something different, but there is a communion with Christ that Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians 10 that has everything to do with our Lord's Supper. He is present with us. Present in the baptizing of a child. The Lord is present. It's His Word by which we do those things. His presence with us when we pray. It's not a long distance call. The Lord is with us. Psalm 46 sees the definite difference that the Lord's presence makes. The psalmist writes in verse 5, God is in the midst of her. God is present with her. She shall not be moved. What makes the difference between Israel when it comes against its enemies? The difference is we have God. And our enemies do not. Not God as an idea, as a distant hope, but God as a present reality. They have God with them. And God says, and this is just a marvelous revelation, I have returned to Zion and will dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Receive it as it is meant to be received, with all the passion and earnest sincerity of a family who has been without father or brother. And then when the war is over, they come home and they walk through the door. They're present. I have come home. I'm home. And it makes all the difference. It's one thing even to text. It's one thing now to video chat with a loved one who is far away. It's a lot different than when they are present. We long for the presence of God. It changes us. He gathers us together with it. He says in verse 8, I will bring them, I will save my people, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. I'm here, now I'm going to gather them to me. When God gives when we have the salutation and the call to worship, understand that that is not meant to be a, you know, time starts now, we begin worshiping, and you start your clock, that'll tick away, and how long is it going to go this Sunday? It is to say God has given us an assurance of His presence with us. And if He were not present with us, this would be a vain and futile thing we do. It wouldn't be worth our time. Even if we were able to get all worked up emotionally, even if what was taught seemed profound and deep and helpful for our lives, it would not be worth it if God was not present. The Lord's presence is what makes us who we are. That's why we're called saints. It's not because we practice a particular religion. It's not because we practice Presbyterianism in a certain order. It's because God is with us. We are a people reflecting God's glory, and we are also a city set on a hill. Verse 13 of that same chapter. And as you have been a byword of cursing among the nations, O house of Judah and house of Israel, so will I will save you. And you shall be a blessing. Fear not, but let your hands be strong. From now on, you're going to be a blessing. You deserved all the reputation you had as a people idolatrous towards their God. You deserved all that before. You deserve to be called a curse, an unfaithful people deserving of all the punishment, all the discipline that came your way. But now things change. You're going to be an example. I will save you, I will gather you, and no longer will the nations curse you. In fact, as verses 20 through 22 say, thus says the Lord of hosts, people shall yet come. Actually come to you, even the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another saying, let's go at once to entreat the favor of the Lord, to seek the Lord of hosts. I'm going. Why? Because He's here. He's there in Jerusalem. One nation will say to another, let's go to Jerusalem because that's where God is. They were accursed people before, but there's something different now. Something has changed, and the presence of God has made all the difference. Now, it's worth asking a question, and it'll be helpful to us to ask it. Wasn't God present with them before the destruction of Jerusalem? We might ask, why didn't that make a difference? Why didn't Israel remain a faithful city? Why didn't the Temple Mount remain a holy place? If God's presence is so important, what happens to the people? What happened to Israel? Well, what happened is that the people did not rest on the presence of God, but on the building and the city. The presence of God makes us who we are, but if we are relying on the outward marks then we lose sight of the one who is truly with us. If we've gotten accustomed to being a better person than when we weren't a Christian, or a better person than we were when we're walking in a particular sin, and we get just comfortable with that, and we feel somehow we don't need the presence of the Lord in our lives, and we stray and we begin not again to approach Him in our devotions, not to come to worship, then brothers and sisters, however present God is, and He's always present, we've ignored the difference it makes. And we've attributed to the difference to our own goodness. We've attributed it to having a church building. We've attributed it to having solemn worship. We've attributed everything but God Himself. We have got to be a church that acknowledges God's presence with us and is humbly reliant upon it and completely committed to it. You have to know when you come through those doors on Sunday morning that you are entering into the presence of God. It's not you come through the doors and say, I have to act a certain way now because I'm in church. The presence of God makes a difference in who we are. Stapled my pages wrong. How much more so, if that was such a delight, if God would tell His people that and knew what it would mean to them. If God would tell His people that, and then Christ comes, God with us, Emmanuel, the presence of God come in the flesh. And now Christ, as we have read in John 14, says, I will not leave you as orphans. Think about that family back home while their loved ones are at war. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm coming to you. I'm giving my Spirit to you. That's how I will assure you of my constant presence. I will give to you my Spirit. So you're not widowed. You're not orphaned. You're not wandering alone. It's not our habits, not our traditions. It's not how religious we are that makes us the people of God. It's not what makes us a true church. God's presence. Secondly, the Lord's presence provides a pure place for worship. It's not only that what Jerusalem becomes a faithful city or a true city, it's that the mountain shall become that holy mountain. Worship will find its place in the temple of the Lord on the holy mountain. It had been ruined, it had been torn down, but was being rebuilt. But much, much more than that, the purity of holiness would return to the mountain of worship. People shall come, even the inhabitants of many cities. Where will people find a place to worship? They'll find it there. Everything falls into place when God is present, not the other way. God doesn't come because we are a certain way. That's never been how it was with God and His people. God didn't choose Abraham because Abraham was seeking God. God made Himself known to Abraham, and Abraham came. Moses wasn't seeking God when he was shepherding the sheep down at the base of the mountain and he saw the burning bush on top. God was present there and Moses came. And God established His people. He delivered them out of Egypt and He was present. How? He was present in the tabernacle as is promised. The tabernacle went with them and as they traveled, God was present with them. It's what made them victorious. It's what protected them, God's presence. I mean, there were a lot of people. There were over a million Israelites coming out of Egypt. It was a lot of people. But God says, that is not what's going to be your protection and your deliverance. It was Him. He shows up. The Temple Mount would again be counted as the most sacred space because the Lord chooses to be present there by way of association. Obviously, the temple could not contain all of God. Solomon knew that. The psalmist knew that. Right? The temple couldn't contain Him. But when God gave His covenant in the Old Testament, and when He extended it through Moses and added information to it with the law that was given, He decided to show forth His presence in a physical place called the temple. And in that physical place called the temple, God wanted that to be a type and a reminder of a holy place and really of a holy person, that is the Lord Jesus Christ. So until Christ should come, that temple was extremely important to the faithful covenant between God and His people. The covenant could not continue, it could not progress, it could not come to fulfillment if God did not once again restore the temple. That's how important it was to the people. Those who went up to the temple of Jerusalem would know that God was there in a special way. It was not the same thing as going up to Mount Carmel. It is a place where God promised that He would meet them in a special way to follow Him, and to follow Him to that place and to worship and offer offerings in that place was for the Israelites. That is the place of the pure worship of God. And while only the priest, high priest himself, could go into the Holy Holies once a year, yet the place itself was such a holy place that when Solomon prayed for its establishment of the temple itself, he said, "Lord, when your people look to this place and they turn here and they pray, forgive their sins. When they ask for the king, hear their prayers. When they are sick, hear their prayers. When they are oppressed by an enemy, hear their prayers. When they look to this place, O God, because you are here and your presence makes all the difference in the world." And then God's glory came down such that the priests had to evacuate the temple. It's kind of neat when you read about it. God's glory shows visibly on the place and everyone says they can't bear the light. He's present. Some people say we're a traditional church. And that's accurate to an extent. Comparatively speaking, we are a pretty traditional church. Our worship is fairly traditional. But as a church, we don't rely on tradition. In fact, we don't praise tradition. In fact, what we rely upon is the fact that our traditions are built upon strong foundations. That what we do as a church in worship and other things is built not upon the fact that our ancestors did it, our grandparents and great-grandparents did it, or that Calvin did it, or that the church in Scotland did it, or the church in the Netherlands did it. It's built upon the fact that the Bible teaches it. That the Bible teaches that God is present with us, and therefore we follow a pattern given in Scripture of how to worship the God who is present with us. And the purity of who He is. The Lord's presence provides a pure place for worship. That's why the nations come. And what's wonderful is that because of Jesus Christ now, that place isn't limited to a temple in Jerusalem. In fact, 70 AD did the world a great favor as God brought about the destruction of Jerusalem and the destruction of the temple and putting an end to that. Because something better had come. Someone better had come. Because of Christ and because of His Spirit now, we can say that at Providence Presbyterian Church, God is as present here as He was in the temple in Jerusalem. And down the street at another congregation that is faithful to the Lord, that believes His Word, that God is present there. And across the world, in a different place, maybe a place just now hearing the gospel, they will be able to worship in purity because, you know what? God will be present there. That the purity of worship because of God's presence now is not limited to a single place. Because of Christ, it can be found wherever God gathers His people. That's awesome. The presence of God makes a difference. You don't even have to have a building. The presence of God makes a difference. In a hotel conference room, it made a difference when we were there, right? American Legion Hall. Boy, it had to make a difference. The environment, the smell of stale cigarettes and alcohol wasn't really, you know, that wasn't holy incense being lifted up to God. It was the presence of the Lord. Thirdly, the Lord makes His presence our home together. Verses 7 and 8, I will save my people from the east country and from the west country, and I will bring them to dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. He brings us to where He is. Those who were separated families dispersed far and wide, He will bring together, not by technology, but by physical presence. So when you have the picture of the age, and what a picture it is, it's really neat. It's why I looked at this and think of the old people walking with their staffs. They're old because of age, but the thing is, He's expressing the fact that they're alive and active, great age, blessing of God because of His presence. Streets, cities filled with boys and girls playing in the streets. What a picture! What an image of the people of God, safe with one another, gathered together with one another, being in relationship with one another. There's a completeness to that picture, isn't it? From the younger generation to the older generation, they're all about doing their thing. They're all about in peace. One celebrating their age, the other celebrating their youthfulness and ability to kick around a soccer ball in the street and not fear anything. And don't we desire those days? But the church of God, the presence of God with us as a people, and we are all to labor in how we live our lives, that we, because of the presence of God, gather together as a church, whether in our worship or in our fellowship, to be a place where those of age can feel that they are very much a part of it, very much a part of the life of the church. Brothers and sisters, if we become a church who turn out to pasture someone because they're retired or someone because they're old, if we become the kind of church that turns them out to pasture by changing everything so that it's aimed at a youthful designation, anyone between their 20s and 30s, or we say we're a church of the millennials and we're going to aim that and we discard the old, we don't want to be that kind of church. The presence of God says that the aged are to walk around in peace, being part of the community, enjoying what God has given them, and we enjoying them, and that children should be safe at Providence Church. Children should be safe here. We need to be committed to knowing that God's presence with us means we become a kind of people that allows our children to be able to play here and listen, because this is important, and find godly examples. Being safe isn't just about not getting hurt. Being safe means to have examples of godliness shown to them and the people of God. God is present with us, and we need to practice that presence together, because that's what He calls us. He pictures here a community where long life is enjoyed in peace, and where young life is enjoyed in peace and safety. That's what the illustrators of Life magazine in the 1950s tried to portray. Excuse me. A place of peace, where fathers and brothers were no longer off fighting at war. They were working in jobs, providing for their families, buying appliances and new cars. Older women no longer pining and grieving and waiting, but celebrating. Young men and young women raising families. That was a dream for Life magazine, just a dream. But brothers and sisters, we have God, and that makes all the difference in the world. The Lord's return to Zion was a monumental event in the life of God's people. He had never really left them. He sent them into exile. Rather, He went with them into exile, as the prophet Ezekiel teaches. But the covenant still ran through those visible types, the land, the sacrifices of the temple, the royal city. Yes, the Lord was present with His people in Babylon, but it was a presence that didn't give progress to the fulfillment of His promises. Only when Christ came, and He came as our temple and righteous king, did the promises find their fulfillment. Only then could they do without the city of Jerusalem. Only then could they do without the temple. Because when Christ came, faithful cities began popping up in Antioch, in Samaria, and in Macedonia, and Italy, and North Africa, and India. Only when Christ came were pure places of worship acceptable to all, in huts, in school conference rooms, in outside shelters, or American Legion halls. And only when Christ came could all kinds of people find a home. Only when Christ came, only with His presence, could everyone find a home such there are no widows and there are no orphans because of God's presence. It makes all the difference in the world. Let's pray.